Okay, welcome everybody. Why don't you find a nice seat? Welcome to this Saturday afternoon meditation class. Always stream live all over the world. And this is the class for the ongoing meditation for those of you who are coming for the first time to learn the introduction to meditation class. That series of four talks, four lessons to kickstart the meditation is being held in the room to my right. So on the right over there, that's the introduction to meditation class, a series of four talks on meditation, guided meditations for those who've never meditated before. So this is the ongoing class. So again, welcome everybody, and in this class I always focus just on one particular aspect of the meditation. And which one to do today? Oh, you do like the thinking, which is always the problem for many people. They start to meditate and maybe they get into it in the very beginning, and then they start thinking all over the place, planning, worrying, until after a little while the 45 minutes goes past and all you've really done is waste time thinking about all sorts of stuff. And you never get the benefit of meditation, the peace, the clarity and the happiness which comes from a peaceful mind. So there are many tricks to overcome the thinking mind. First of all, to remember that this is meditation time. It's like a little determination, a resolution. I'm going to use this time for meditation and not for working out all my problems. Because all your problems, you can't work them all out. You'll die before they're all solved. So it's a total waste of time. So you might as well die, you know, with a bit of peace and smile in your face rather than having solved all the problems. So you realize that this particular time, meditation, is for the purpose of peace, like resting your brain. Your brain gets used so much that no wonder it gets tired, and it gets tired, it gets grumpy, it gets depressed, it gets sick. It's just tiredness, that's all. So we're going to try and give importance to quietness, to peace, rather than solving problems. So we start off by just having a marketing campaign, just convincing ourselves that for the next 45 minutes, silence of the mind, peace, no thoughts, hardly any thoughts, is more important than solving problems. The quietness of the mind is more valuable than thoughts. And that you get far more wisdom, far more happiness, far more health by being quiet rather than thinking. So understanding something like that and marketing yourself, this is the time for silence, for peace. Peace is more important. Otherwise, you'll think, well, I'll just do this thought first of all, then I'll start meditating. And that means your meditation never starts. I just this one thought, it's really important. I've got to think it through, find a solution. No, leave it for later. Because people always find, if they develop a peaceful, quiet mind first, really peaceful, and then after the meditation, they can solve problems very easily, very quickly, in a shorter time. If you have problems to solve in life, which we all do, decisions to make, meditate first, quiet. Don't even think about those problems. And then afterwards it's much more clear. The brain's got more energy. You're more innovative, which means you can find really good solutions only after silence. So many times I've mentioned that wisdom comes from silence, not through thinking. Even little books, which have got my name on it, titled Wisdom from Silence, because that's where the greatest wisdom comes from. So give a lot of importance to silence and not to thinking. And many of you may have gone to very, very quiet places in this world. Gone out to the bush where there's no one around for maybe 100 miles in either direction. And there you can just stop and everything becomes so still. or you go in caves. I love caves because there it's cool and quiet. And sometimes in a deep cave you can't hear like a thunderstorm going on outside. It's totally quiet. And I also recall one time in the winter time in UK, visiting one of our monasteries many years ago, and it was minus 26 degrees centigrade that night. So getting up in the morning, being a visitor, no duties, I'd asked to go for a walk in the forest. Everyone thought I was crazy. I said, I'm not crazy, I'm just English. Mad dog's an Englishman. So I went out there, minus 26 degrees, or maybe it was warming up, maybe only minus 25 by then. And just rugged up, walking in the snow. And it was one of the most magical memories of my life. Because there's no birds around. They were all hibernating. No animals in the trees. They were also fast asleep. No aircraft in the sky. I think the runways had closed. There was no traffic on the roads. There was no one out at all. It was absolutely silent. And when I stopped walking, there was no sound at all. It was just like the whole universe stops. It was silent. Nothing moved. And that was just so wonderful, so silent, so beautiful. So this is called marketing. The beauty, the importance, the power of silence. Not just negatively, you know, bagging or putting down thinking, but in its place, just rising, putting attention to the incredible beauty and power of silence. You can remember, you can recognize that. I'm sure you've all had moments where it's really been quiet and silent and enjoyed it so much. So once you've motivated yourself, the importance of silence, taking away any importance to thinking, it's more likely your mind will become silent. And how you do it next, I gave an old simile of mine of last night of a guitar string. And if any of you played a guitar or maybe a violin or a cello or any string instrument, you know that that string has to be tight, has to be taut, has to be under stress to make any sound. And if you take away the stress of a violin string or a guitar string, loosen both ends, it makes no sound at all. A tight string, something falls on it, bong. A loose string, something falls on it, no sound at all. It cannot vibrate. And in this simile, that guitar string or that violin string represents your mind. And impingements on it, someone banging the door or coughing, or like a thought comes up in the mind and it hits a tight, tense mind, then of course it reverberates. One thought leads to another, to another, to another, and then you're off into fantasies, the past or the future. But if your guitar string, the mind, is perfectly relaxed, not stressed at all, then something happens and it doesn't echo at all. The door bangs, and as soon as the bang has gone, it's silent again. No thoughts. Who did that? They shouldn't be allowed in here. We should have revolving doors, or we should just have to climb through a screen or something. I don't know. But no doors, they're noisy. You should screen people when they come in here, like in the airports. If they've got a fever and they're going to cough, they can't come in. Whatever it is, the noise finished a long time ago, but it continues to echo in our mind. That's only because your mind is tense. And so how do we stop the mind being tense, to relax it like a loose guitar string? Stop pulling at either end. The two ends of the mind are the past and the future. Being pulled apart. The past dragging you back into what happened earlier today. What happened earlier this week? The past drags you back. So you can't go walking freely into the future. The past is like this big backpack I see these poor children taking to school. So heavy. And they're trudging up to school with this heavy backpack. Oh, in my day when I went to school, the only thing we carried with us was a football. Paid more time playing football than doing our lessons some days. But at least we were light, not burdened with the weight of the past. That pulls you back. So we let go of all the past at the beginning of the meditation. And the other thing which is pulling you into the future, like being led, you know, like a slave, and the slave driver's got a rope around your neck and pulling you into the future. That's called worry and fear. What might happen next? And so we take off that rope. So nothing is pulling us into the future. No fear, no anxiety, no plans. Your future is being made right now. Now is the only time you can do anything for your future. So now is more important. Don't allow the future to pull you. Just relax. And that's the best preparation for tomorrow. Being peaceful now. So you feel you're not being pulled in either direction. You can just stay here. Relax in this moment. If you have anything you want to achieve, goals you want to reach, that is like another slave driver pulling you here, pulling you there. You tied another rope around your neck. So, no goals, no aspirations. All aspirations lead to desperation and finally expiration. The three spirations are usually one after the other. Aspiration, when you get frustrated, desperation, and lastly you give up. Expiration, the three spirations. And anyway, so don't aspire for anything. Just be here and be content to be here. Sometimes I look at myself, ah, you're a stupid old monk. And I look, but I'm content to be a stupid old monk. That's the difference. And if you're content to be a stupid old monk, then you are free and you can enjoy your stupidity. So, be content in this moment. Then you never go off into the future trying to change something or get rid of something. And you never linger in the golden moments of the past, which weren't golden. That's just a fantasy. And that way, your mind, not being pulled to the past or pulled to the future, is not stretched. Not being stretched, it's got no stress. Having no stress, something happens to it, and it disappears straight away. And back to silence, like a guitar string with no tension on it. It makes no noise. That is how to meditate. So simple. So you all know now how to meditate, so you don't need to come back again next week. Is that right? Anyway, just to say again, if anyone's come in during my little monologue, that this is the ongoing class, the meditation. Those of you who are here for the first time, coming to the introduction to meditation class, that again is in the room to my right. Please leave while there's still a chance, because once we begin 45 minutes of meditation, if you haven't meditated for 45 minutes before, you are going to be in trouble. It's a long time. So you have been warned. Okay, here we go then. So you're all experts. So you get into your meditation posture as best you can. And please make sure all your mobile phones are turned off. Even better, just, you know, throw them in the rubbish bin, quiet forever. Very good. And it's okay to sit down in against the wall on the chairs, but please, you know, don't lie down on the ground. So just sitting, your back should be upright. Very good. Here we go. Close your eyes. And the first thing we do once our eyes are closed is just to make that little resolution. This is a time I put aside in my life for peace, for relaxation, not for thinking or planning or working out problems. This is for peace. This is for peace. This is for peace and silence. Because you'll find if you tell your mind what you wanted to do clearly, it usually does it. And in order for the mind to be calm and silent, make sure it doesn't have too many problems in this present moment to think about. So we start by looking at our posture, the way we're sitting, on a chair, on a stool, on the ground, leaning against the wall is fine, but again, please don't stretch out on the ground in a sleeping posture. And we begin by just looking at our body from within with our eyes closed. How are your legs right now? How do they feel? Are your legs comfortable? Can you make them more comfortable? You can even try to move them to see if once you've moved them, changed the position, whether they are better, whether they're more comfortable. This is the beginnings of mindfulness, awareness of the feelings in your legs and the kindness which can move those legs to find the best position. Once the legs are comfortable, move your awareness up to your bottom, your butt. Because many times that people get their butt in an uncomfortable position and it starts to ache later on. So ask your butt, do you want to be moved? And if it says yes, do so. And then, move your attention up to your back. So many people have back problems because they're not aware of how they hold their back. So with your eyes closed again, feel your back. Just focus on that area and see how you can relax your back. Once your back feels as comfortable as you can make it, then move to your shoulders, relax your shoulders. It's another place where people have tension because they don't know how to relax. Mindfulness together with kindness. Those two allow your back to relax. Then you move your attention up to your head, make sure that that is well balanced on top of the neck. Little by little, stage by stage, not only are we checking our body slowly, we're also building up our awareness. As you move up, your awareness gets stronger. It can literally experience much more. And as it gets stronger, goes up more, then the next thing is the front of the face. To be aware of the muscles around the eyes and the mouth and to relax them. So there's no tightness around the eyes. or mouth. If there is tightness there, be aware of that feeling and learn how to relax it, just sometimes by trial and error. The mindfulness allows you to have feedback. Once the body is relaxed on the outside by movement, now see if you can relax the body inside. Have you got an irritation, a pain, or an ache somewhere? A place inside your body which is tense? If so, focus on that one area. Zoom in on that area. Now I look, now I'm mindful. There's a very slight irritation in my colon, in my guts. So I'm zooming in, focusing on that. Once I can focus in on it, I can relax it with kindness, with letting be. The mindfulness illuminates that area inside my body which I cannot do anything about by movement. It's inside. I'm aware of it, mindful of it, and I've learned how to relax from the inside, letting it be. And you feel just the ache, the tension start to go. Be relieved. Making peace with that irritation. A little by little it gets less and less and less. So I'm focusing in order to relax my body deeply. Building up more and more mindfulness, more and more ability to let things be. At the same time, just substituting these feelings. So substituting thoughts for these feelings, blocking out the thoughts because I'm too focused on the feelings in my own body. The thoughts lose their hold on me. And I'm feeling, knowing, being, rather than thinking about stuff. I'm still with my stomach or my intestines, relaxing them, easing them. You can choose any part of your body. Aware, relax. Until your body relaxes so deeply, like you've been in a spa bath. You wake up first thing in the morning, totally relaxed and cozy. Not an ache, not a stress anywhere in your body.
when my body is relaxed. When my body relaxes, it feels really pleasant. Just like it is. It's one of the reasons why people go to resorts, just to find this relaxation. And they can do it right here, even in their home, through meditation. The body feels really at ease and relaxed, open and free. I just enjoy that relaxation of the whole body. Not an ache or a pain to be found there. There's still aches and pains, still carry on with this method. If not, if your body feels as relaxed as you can get it, then move now to your mind. Remember that guitar string simile. How tight is your mind right now? How reactive is it to sounds and feelings and sound of the aircraft in the sky? If your mind is really peaceful, you don't react at all. It's very tight. Oh, you react so much. So just notice what I call the peaceometer. How tight, agitated, or how peaceful and free. And you'll find that once you're aware of your peaceometer, which tells you how peaceful or agitated you are in your mind, you get to know what I mean, then you'll find that things like contentment, letting things be, letting this moment be, letting the sound of the creak of the door just be. Just content. Your mind relaxes more. And the thoughts get less and less. Until your mind is totally relaxed. Like your body. And no thoughts come. And when you are peaceful enough, that's usually a good time to invite the breath in. To know the breath as it's coming in. To know the breath as it's going out. Just like watching the waves on the beach. Just like swinging in a hammock. Back and forth. With the breath. With nothing to solve, no problems to finish. Leave that till later. This is rest time. Meditation. And it helps sometimes to say to yourself as you breathing in peace, breathe out, let go. Breathing in peace. Breathe out, let go. And as you're breathing in, you feel, you imagine, even visualize peace in whatever form you prefer. Visualizing that coming into your body and mind with every in-breath. Peace. And as you breathe out, let go. Any tension, tiredness, sickness. Breathe that out with every out-breath and breathe in peace. And now I'm going to be quiet until the end of the meditation. This is just to get you going. And now it's up to you. Now, getting close to the end of the meditation, how do you feel? How peaceful is your mind? How relaxed your body? And why? What worked? What didn't work? So you learn from this meditation. And now I'm going to ring the gong 3 times to end the meditation. We have an opportunity for asking questions on meditation. So this is streamed live, so we have questions from overseas, from places which don't have a Buddhist center. So is there any questions from the floor, first of all, from people here about the meditation today? Okay, doesn't look like it. So let's see what we have from overseas. Very good. Here we go from, it's amazing that where this actually goes to. The first question is from Yemen. Yeah. From a fellow, have a guess what the name is. Mohammed. Anyway, from Yemen. Why is it so difficult for us to keep peace of mind when we are sad and depressed? That's a very excellent question. It's something which I was thinking of talking about at the beginning of this meditation session, but decided to go for thinking instead. That this is some of the sayings of the Buddha. It's from happiness that the mind becomes very peaceful and still. So it is difficult because there's no energy in the mind. And if you are sad and depressed, it does mean that the mind just wants to escape somewhere. And it's usually the force in the mind is, you know, to escape, to just go into fantasies and dreams, because there one can replace the sadness with something a bit more enjoyable, only it's not really peaceful at all. So yes, it can look sad and depressed, and it's because of that that, you know, we try and have some teachings such as the 2 bad bricks in the wall. Don't just look at the 2 bad bricks, look at the 998 good bricks instead. And you find it's not such a bad wall. Try to look for happiness and joy wherever you can find it. You do have an opportunity to look at a garden and just see the weeds, or to see the grass and the flowers. They're both there. It depends upon what one focuses on, what one decides to see. And often we can allow ourselves to develop like a positive, happy mind, even the most difficult of situations. Even again, when there is difficulties and problems in your life, you know, we say that's always like manure, it's shit, but it's there to make beautiful fertilizer, to make beautiful gardens. So there's an attitude of mind there which allows us not to develop fault finding, but to develop a sense of appreciation and gratitude and seeing the beauty in other people. And I often mention that going to prisons, seeing mass murderers, you can see so much beauty in them. And it should be pretty obvious that just because a person's done a crime doesn't make them a criminal. So when one develops a very good attitude prior to the meditation, you can actually get some happiness, get some joy in one's life. It's always there, whether it's your family, whether it's just seeing a beautiful sky, appreciating a wonderful weather today, not too hot, not too cold. I'm looking through the back windows there. It's a beautiful scenery there of trees and grass and bushes. Behind me is a Buddha statue and some trees behind. We're living in a pretty good place. People are usually very kind. So those are the sorts of things which can overcome the sadness and depression, and then eventually bring us to a sense of deep meditation. It's also one of the reasons why in this class I don't just get people to sit down and start meditating straight away. Usually 15 minutes of introduction, and in those 15 minutes of introduction, not just talking about a part of meditation just for your information, to try and inspire, trying to encourage, and the way I use the voice to soften the voice, to calm people down, just so to try and get that sort of happiness before we even start to meditate. So that's actually a very nice question, very good question. It is difficult to keep peace of mind when you're sad and depressed, so make that one of your first tasks, to actually to cultivate happiness by turning the mind into places where you can remember happy moments, joyful moments. One of the meditations which I have done here, not for about 3 or 4 weeks, was the beginning of the meditation, when you sit down, you relax the body, the same as we did here, and then you start to remember the happiest moment in your life, the most peaceful, the most joyful moment in your life, with your eyes closed. Yes, it is remembering the past, but focusing on one event long time ago which was happy and peaceful and beautiful, and to build up the scene. Now, where were you? Who was with you? What time of day was it? Where was it? And as you build up the scene, you recreate a lot of that happiness which was associated with that memory. In the same way, if you start thinking of some of the terrible things which have happened to you, you actually bring up some of the pain and disappointment. So you can look at your past at the beginning of the meditation and bring up some happiness, some joy, some of the beautiful things which you've experienced in your life. Bring up the happiness first, and then you find the meditation can proceed with greater ease. So very, very good question. The next one, in Thailand. Some days meditation isn't that strong as other days. Do I have to think about that, or shall I let it go? Yes, you just let it go. That is nature. And the answer to that is one of the old stories, which qualifies as a real joke. But it's not just a joke for fun. It has a big meaning to it, like many sort of funny stories. And that is where, that is where the refugee comes to Australia, gets a job in a building site, even though he's a doctor, because, you have to start from the bottom again. Gets a job in the building site, works really hard on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, doesn't get paid, and thinks he's being exploited, tells his wife, I'm not going to go to work anymore in Australia, they never pay you. On Thursday he goes to work because he's got nothing better to do, still doesn't get paid, so he thought, right, that's it, I'm not working again. But his wife forces him to go to work on a Friday. On a Friday he gets a pay packet, a big lot of money. And when he goes home, he said, I finally got paid. I finally understand how it works here in Australia. From today on, I'm only going to go to work on Friday, the payday. And of course, you can't just go to work on Friday. You get paid on Friday for everything you did on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it's the same with from the Thailand here. Some days meditation isn't that strong as other days. Yeah, because you're working, haven't got paid. But don't worry, you're building up credit until the really good one comes. And it just reminded me of the other story for the Muhammad in Yemen. When you are sad and depressed, the difference between a negative mind and a positive mind. What causes sadness and depression? What causes joy and happiness? It was a quote from Snoopy, of Peanuts cartoon. Where... Charlie Brown says, one day we will all die. That is depressing. Snoopy the dog said, yes, but most days you won't die. That is joy and happiness. That is great psychology. One day we'll all die, but most days you don't die. And in India, Shubham, can we do meditation while lying on our back? It is best to sit in a chair, on a stool, or on the floor, because then you avoid the sleepiness which comes when lying on your back. However, there does come a time when you get very old and sick, you're in hospital, and so there are some advantages of actually learning how to meditate lying on your back. But it's best in this hall over here not to do that, because people always fall asleep if they're going on their back. It's just the posture which we have for falling asleep or being sick, which is on our back. So if you are sitting up, then you find you have more mindfulness and a bit more energy. So the answer is yes, you can meditate while lying on your back. But if you do, and it's not the best posture, if you do, then try and find a posture on your back where you don't normally go asleep. So I always go asleep on one of my sides, the left side or the right side. And I never go to sleep on my back. So I reserve that position. If I want to meditate because I'm sick or got some injury and I lay on my back, that my mind knows that he wants me to meditate, not to fall asleep. If I'm on my side, psychologically, my body says, my mind says, okay, he wants to meditate, I'm on my side. So if you do meditate on your back, find one posture where you never fall asleep. For me, it's on my back. If I try and meditate on my side, yeah, I will go asleep, because I'm used to that. It's conditioning. So you can, but be careful in India. So those are nice questions there from Yemen, Thailand and India. And thank you all for tuning in and just listening to this meditation class. So, any questions? Yes, I thought we might get one from Chris. Go on. He's going to run off to you. Yes.
Bhante, this is also a bit of a comment from what you just said to Muhammad in Yemen.
Yeah.
There's a controversy a lot in psychology and in personal development programs and that sort of stuff between experiencing a positive state and making it stick. Just because you have a state doesn't necessarily mean it sticks around. And in what they found just recently is that if you can actually hold a mental state for about 10 or 15 seconds in your nervous system as opposed to just in and out of your mind straight away, that's going to help. If you can turn up the dial on the intensity of the positive state, that will embed it more and make it stick more. The third thing is if you can make it a positive, be positive, but be positive from the shoulders down as well. In other words, not just a head trip. The fourth one is make a decision, as the Buddha says, like in right view. Am I worthy of this? Yes, I am worthy of this. And the fifth one is, when you're having positive states, how is this benefiting me? Why is this good for me? If you know all five of those, that's going to really turn a fleeting positive feeling into a personality, more of a personality trait. A lot of this stuff, I'm sure, comes from the Buddha's teachings. What did the Buddha say about this stuff? Because I know that he said repetition, repetition, repetition all the time. But could you flesh that out for me, please, a little bit along the lines of what I've just said in terms of the Buddha's teaching?
Yeah, it is just developing. That's actually basically right effort and also the right attitude. Letting go, making peace, being kind, being gentle. It's what we develop, it's what we train at. People train themselves to play soccer, they train themselves to play music, they train themselves to be a psychologist. why can't we train ourselves to develop happiness? It's just a skill like every other skill which we can do. And it is a mental skill, just like you train yourself to do mathematics. And like most of those skills in happiness, yeah, we can be taught by other people, we can be taught by myself. But the most important thing is, you know, you have developed enough awareness and you find out what works for you. So the awareness, this is making me happier. Why am I trying so hard to develop happiness, it's making me sick? It's that old case that sometimes we're trying so hard to get better, that's a cause of us being sick. We're trying so hard to be happy that it makes us depressed. So sometimes we're aware what works for us and what doesn't work for us. And then little by little, when we have enough awareness, we see the causes and effects. You know, the what works, what doesn't work. And that is this basic second Satipatthana. You know, to understand the Vedana, the happiness and the sadness. And what causes it? Where does it come from? And after a while, we're looking there and we find out that when I cultivate this type of thought, it just makes me miserable. When I cultivate another type of thought, it makes me happy. And just that knowledge, just that understanding again and again gets imprinted on you. We learn. Just like a kid learns how to walk. If you do this, you fall over. If you do something else, you stand up. And that basic awareness and reinforcement of which comes from awareness, this is good, this helps, that is just a basic way the human being learns. And that's exactly how we do it in Buddhism. So we learn how to have more happiness and positive mind states. We learn the causes. And it is never one size fits all for everybody. You know, for some people it really works. They can sort of maintain the happiness. One of those things is always being around positive people. You know, that story of the elephant, and who got crazy and then became good again because it was associating with thieves. So hanging around positive people is a natural thing which makes you happy and joyful. So there's so many different things which you can feel. This is what makes me happier, joyful, more positive. Even like good food, health, going for runs or whatever it is you do. So the main thing is you are aware, checking out what makes me more positive. What works, what doesn't work. And that's where we learn. Okay, thank you, Chris. Okay, now I think we have enough for now. We can actually go. And pay respects to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, then we can all go.